This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Wells Tech Podcast. My name is Martin Spriggs, and this is episode 322 of Wells Tech for Tuesday, December 31st, the last show of the year. And joining me for episode 322 in this last show, Sally Draper. Hi, Sally.
Good morning, Martin, and I guess I can say Happy New Year, even though we are tip our hat a little, recording a little early this New Year's Eve episode, but always a fun episode. We've done this 6 times now, and it's just really neat to look back at the year in review.
Yep, absolutely. A lot of things to look back on, a lot of things to look forward to, and we'll probably touch on that in our next show, our New Year's show, as there's maybe some nice changes here as far as the set's concerned and our approach to getting this stuff out, maybe encouraging some live interaction and audiences. So good stuff. But before we get to that, lots of things to think about, Sally. And this was a pretty easy show to plan for. It took us all of just a few minutes to kind of identify some of the special things that happened on the show over the 2013 show year.
Yeah, maybe a little history for those that have listened for a while. You know that in the past we've done just kind of a focus on our picks of the year. Throughout the year, each podcast, Martin and I make picks or recommendations for websites or hardware or software, whatever it may be. And the show had always kind of revolved around our favorite picks, sometimes our worst picks, that kind of thing. This year we're changing it up a little and just looking at the whole year in retrospect. And it was quite a year. I was really surprised as we began to put this together that all the things that happened this year, all the noteworthy things that we want to talk about.
Absolutely. So where do we start?
I think just right off the bat, we need to talk about all the events that happened around Wells Tech this year. And number one on my list would be Wells Tech Camp. For the first time ever, we had a live meetup in-person event. We held it, I think the date was September 14th. It was on the campus of Martin Luther College. And we did something brand new, to Wells at least, something called an unconference. Early in the year, we heard about Ed Camps, which are unconference format educational conferences where the participants basically suggest the agenda of the day and break into rooms and talk about things. So we decided to duplicate that format. We went with the maybe like 4 time slots, I think it was, and just kind of threw it open to everyone to brainstorm ideas for the day. And I'd say it was a good first attempt at an unconference, Martin. What did you think of the day?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think conferences in general are maybe a thing of the past for in some sectors and maybe even in Wells circles because of travel costs and those kinds of things. But there's really not a replacement for kind of this face-to-face interaction with people that we'd, to this point, at least in my case, had not met. We'd met them digitally or virtually, but not in a face-to-face setting, and that gives us some context. And I think you can draw from that, and I feel closer to those people, obviously, as a result. In addition to that, Sally, I think it was a good kind of test ground for the next kind of unconference that we did, which was our conference on distance outreach and technology. And that was held in Las Vegas, Nevada about a month and a half ago. We also called it Wells Tech. It just kind of, that name just kind of gets attached to anything technology, I think, these days. But in that conference, it was by invitation only. We brought together 40 people from across the Synod and across and ELS as well, who had some experience or who had something to bring to the table about technology and ministry, specifically outreach. And so we kind of tweaked the format that we started there in New Ulm with our first unconference, and I think made it a little bit better where we, so if anybody else is out there looking to do these kinds of things, I think one of the secrets is if people are unfamiliar with an unconference, the best way to around that is to try and seed or grease the skids a little bit, seed the conference a little bit beforehand by soliciting topics and letting everybody know, hey, this is what we're going to be talking about. Bring, you know, if you've got something to share, bring it along. And that's definitely what happened.
Definitely. And I think we'll, I kind of felt like the Distance Technology and Outreach Conference was kind of a think tank atmosphere, looking at what our synods can do with technology to further that gospel spread. And I think we'll see in the future a lot of great things come out of the efforts that those 40 people put in for those that short period of time in Las Vegas. I'm excited. I'm thrilled to learn more about what's going to come from it.
So that's just the beginning. And I'm sure everybody on the podcast listening or watching will hear more about it in the future as well, or even be asked to participate in maybe some subcommittees or work that resulted from ideas from the conference. There was one other event that kind of stuck in my mind, Sally, and you were more a part of it than I was, but that was Google Summit held at Wisconsin Lutheran College, and then I joined you for one of our Wells Tech recordings where we got to do a number of interviews with people who were really knee-deep in Googledom and tried to share with us their thoughts on the summit as well.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to attend a week-long intense study of Google Apps for Education, basically. And the product of my work was this Going Google website, which I shared on the podcast, where I kind of used all the Google tools as a kind of a capstone effort of the week. Great week, met some fantastic people who are doing amazing things in education with Google. And, you know, say what you will, I know we talk about Google a lot on the podcast, but they've definitely put the tools at the price point. Here's my Chromebook. Notice the Google colored crocheted. But yeah, this Chromebook at the price point that it is putting technology in students' hands, and that's an exciting thing to see, and the implications for education are just so far-reaching. It was an eye-opening conference, and we did, I think we dedicated two shows to just all the great people that were there and the ideas that were shared.
Absolutely. So lots of events, and we look forward to other events in the future. We're in the midst of planning for, or we'll shortly begin planning for, potential Wells Tech, larger Wells Tech, more a traditional Wells Tech conference in 2015. So I'm excited about that, too, just to meet more of our Wells Techers and maybe welcome more into the Wells Tech family.
Yep. Speaking of the Wells Tech family, I think there's been a lot of things technology-wise, like really big things going on this year in Wells circles in terms of tech and ministry. And the first one I want to mention is related to Google Chromebooks and the Google Apps for Education effort. There are a lot of Google Plus communities that have sprung up around that. Google has their own that are out there if you just do a search on Google Plus. But one that I find really important to me these days, and it's just really growing and everything, is a community called Wells Google Schools. Let me do a quick screen share. And for some reason, I'm not seeing everything in this. Let me switch accounts, and maybe I will see Wells Google Schools. Nope, not happening. Oh, well, best laid plans. Not going to be something I can share with you.
That's one of the drawbacks of having like 12 different Google accounts.
Yeah, that split personality comes
in. Logged in with, yeah.
Anyway, still want to give a shout out to our friends Jason Schmidt, and now he's sharing the moderation of that group with Dave Tess from WLC, and it is definitely a thriving community. There's a group of people that are asking and answering questions and supporting each other as we all move forward with more Google Apps for Education in our classrooms. So kudos to Jason for getting that started.
Yep. In this category of new and notable Wells Tech and Ministry efforts, a lot of them we had nothing to do with, and that's kind of cool that we were just made aware of and we're happy to promote them and in some cases have the folks on for interviews. In fact, I think all the ones that we're going to talk about here we had on for interviews. Bread for Beggars was a website developed primarily by some guys in the South Atlantic District Mark Parsons, who we saw in Las Vegas, and who we've also had on the show as well. Bread for Beggars just kind of aggregates all kinds of ministry-type resources, media, those kinds of things. And I think, Sally, you've got it up there. Yep. Just a great resource for people interested in reaching out, and just kind of an enjoyable read. So you've got sermons there, you have ideas, you have music videos, and they're trying to make this a a community of like-minded individuals. So it's a nicely designed site. I'm assuming it's like a WordPress site, something like that. But they do a nice job there.
Definitely. We also talked to on the podcast this year the folks from Cana Bound Podcast, and they just recently published their 50th episode. So kudos to you guys. I know Pastor Tom Bartell from Christ, I believe, in Baxter, Minnesota, is one of the main people behind this podcast, and they're pulling together a lot of different devotional content as well as music, giving you kind of a longer devotion type podcast that you can listen to maybe over 30 minutes instead of just a quick 5-minute devotion or whatever. And they've done a great job in the production of this. So kudos to you guys for that.
Yep. One last shout out would be to Pastor Rob Gunther, who we hear quite a bit from. He just sent us a rather lengthy email that we're not even able to touch in this particular podcast. We'll save it for later. But he's one of those guys, and you know him when you meet him, or you know them very quickly after you meet them, that they seem to have more than 24 hours in their day. And Rob is one of those guys. He gets a lot done in a very short period of time. A lot of energy, and he got involved with self-publishing. He had a devotional series or sermon series that he put to. That he put out there. And self-publishing is so easy these days, both in digital and in paperback. So he's got both of those at this point.
Right, and he actually shared with us in the interview we did with him the step-by-step process that he went through to be listed on Amazon, to actually have print copies. And it was fun because after he did his sermon series, he helped his son write a book, and they sold it on Amazon as well. I even ordered a copy of his son's book that was for sale on Amazon. So, we talked about the fact that classrooms could use this to do compilation books of all the students' work or whatever, and Rob just kind of broke down those barriers and explained the whole process to us. And for that and for many more contributions to Wells Tech, Rob became our first Wells Tech Hall of Famer. That's a really coveted title, Martin, and comes with all kinds of, well, maybe not any prizes or anything,
not even
material, but
any place.
No certificate or anything, but we're really proud of the efforts that Rob puts in and the fact that he goes to bat and shares all of that with us, takes the time to document and share things so well.
Yeah, and we appreciate Rob, and we appreciate all the contributors to the show. We should mention that here at this point, Sally, that the community feedback that we get from all different corners of the world is just a neat thing about what we do here, and the ability to share their experiences, your experiences. And boy, the end of the year is probably as good a time as any to just thank everybody who listens and watches this show, because it's that's why we do it. And also, that's why the show is what it is. So just
right, that's probably why people listen, huh, Martin? Not for us, but for all those great ideas. I don't think there would be a Wells Tech without our Wells Tech community. We'd have run dry a long time ago. So,
Sally, a couple things that we did ourselves to try and provide some valuable resources was we wrote an ebook this year, and that was kind of a fun thing, although that taskmaster of a deadline, I think, wore us down by the end. But I think we hopefully provided a decent resource there.
Yeah, it was titled Church and School Website Content, which is kind of an area we hadn't spent a lot of time on the podcast in the past. We had been more about the techie side of things, how to set up websites and things like that. Whereas the content side, I think Pastor Tom Custer would agree with us, the content is where it's at. The content is the hard part of the website, and having sustainable content that's going to keep your site fresh over time. And so that was the focus of our entire summer. And for the first time ever, we compiled all of our work in that ebook format. So you could get it on your Kindle, you could get it on your iPad, whatever reader you might have. We're out there in that format. So that was kind of a learning process for us as well. And it was all good. I think the results were worth it. And so, yeah, kudos to you, Martin. You put in a lot of hard work on all that writing for that. So
well, yeah, if you're interested in that piece of work, it's out there. Especially if you are a webmaster wondering what goes on my site. That's why we kind of wrote the book.
I was just going to point out that we have a tab on our website called Resources, and there's actually a link to that series. We have all our special series there. We have links to all our book discussions. We have links to guest host posts and much more, including links to all of the interviews that we did this year. So this is actually a new addition to our website this year, this resources page. So check that out.
Great. We have another category of favorites from 2013, and that's favorite shows. Sally, what's your favorite show this year?
Oh, that's a great question, Martin. A lot spring to mind, but I guess probably both of us would agree that our favorite show was our 300th episode. That was a really special time. We were together face-to-face at Synod Convention recording that 300th episode, and we had just a long list of people join us for the episode, so it was really festive to bring in 5 different people to interview that day. We got our picture made, turned out to be a pretty decent picture. I was proud of that. And it was just a fun celebration. We even had cupcakes with special Wells Tech decorations. You just couldn't get any better than that.
That was a festive atmosphere. We had a studio audience, and we had some special guests. So, yeah, I would totally agree. The other one that sticks in my mind was one we've already mentioned, the Google Summit interview where we were on location at the museum there in Milwaukee and had some great guests. So that was kind of fun.
That was fun. I couldn't let the year pass without mentioning our Pinterest show. It was kind of near the very beginning of the year. It was something like Pinterest. Finally, we get to talk about Pinterest. That was the title. And it was just a real highlight of the year, since I know how much you especially appreciate Pinterest, Martin.
I'm there every day.
Oh, yeah.
another series of shows that kind of stick in my mind, Sally, we should mention, and you know, things that I think we've grown. We have had some personal growth and development through is our book reviews. We had kind of a book and a half this year. We're still right in the middle of one of these books, but Presentation Zen by Gar Reynolds was one of the books we reviewed. And now we're in the midst of The Shallows by Nicholas Carr. And I think we're going to get as much out of that as we did the first book this year.
Definitely. You know, maybe I wouldn't be so inclined to read some of the books unless we had the challenge of doing it, and I'm always appreciative of the discussion and the things I learned from them. So good stuff for sure.
Yeah, and hopefully people are able to follow along. I think the books have enough appeal. The books we try and pick have enough appeal that there's balance for preaching pastors, teachers, staff ministers, lay people, webmasters. I mean, everybody hopefully gets something out of these reviews and these conversations. And it's really not just meant for us to read and chat on the show, but for people to read along at home. And if you haven't gotten the Shallows, the book that we're currently in by Nicholas Carr, What the Internet is Doing to Our Brains, that's a good book to pick up for the new year and kind of think through what this thing, the internet, that we take for granted these days, how that has changed how we think and how we do things.
Right. We want to be salt to this world, and we can't do that unless we understand the world that we're living in. And it's definitely given me a lot of food for thought about the people I interact with and the changes that are happening. It's a different world for sure.
Absolutely. Sally, now on to a category that really was the thing that we did exclusively at this show, and that was a look back at our picks of the year. So I picked, we both picked 5, I guess, so we've got 10, our top 10 picks, your 5 and my 5, as we look back across all of them. And this is kind of an interesting category because if we have to pick, 52 picks a year, actually, it's not 52. It's probably maybe 50 because there's a couple shows we, like this show, we won't have a pick. Some of those are going to be duds. You know, some of those are going to be flash in the pan. Boy, this is cool. I think I'm going to like this. Others are going to be, I use this thing every day. And those, I think, are the ones that we're going to highlight here, those that we found most useful. And that's not to say that any of the other picks other people might not have found useful, because we know from feedback that that's, that is the case, that they have found use for even some of the ones that we didn't, because they're in a different ministry situation. So, Sally, you want to lead off?
I do. I'm so glad that you said we aren't going to talk about the duds. Thank you very much.
That was a little
All right.
made last
Let's
year.
See if I can.
For various reasons.
For various reasons. Thank you. I'm going to share my screen. Are we going to go back and forth here? So I'm just going to do one?
Sure.
Okay. So my first.
Time to load up my screen.
Favorite pick is from my friend Richard Rushke. He is an amazing math brain, and he has a really good time explaining it in his Math Count Mini series. Those of you that listen may remember that I've been involved with Math Counts. It's a junior high level math competition, and various teams and things have gone to regional and state level competition, and I've learned a whole lot more about math than I ever knew, even being a math major. It's just a really neat competition, and Math Counts Minis is a great investment if you aren't even going to have anything to do with Math Counts competitions or whatever. It's just some really fun resources to share, and I would say junior high through high school level would benefit from these. There's some pretty abstract concepts that he explains. So for each of the Math Count mini videos, and it looks like there are about 40 of them out there now, there are resource activity sheets that go with them and solution pages as well. So it goes through the types of problems that he's explaining in the video, typically about a 10-minute video or so, and then it extends that and shares other problems. Richard has a website called The Art of Problem Solving. He has some amazing books he's written along with other math experts, and I just can't say enough good things about the quality work that he's doing, the way he explains things, the fun that he has with math. It'll charge up any middle school, high school math student out there. I just almost could guarantee that. So recommend it highly.
Very good. So especially if you are a math teacher, that would be a resource that you'll want to explore. My first pick is Pocket Casts. They came out with a new version. This is a mobile app for iPhone, iPad, and Android. And it's basically a podcast player. So if you wanted to load up our podcasts and have them with you, whether they be audio or video, you could do it with this pod catcher. And I believe there's a cost to this. It's not super expensive. It's by a company called Shifty Jelly. And the concept is quite simple. You basically sync up or tag the podcast that you want, set the settings, whether you want it auto-downloaded or streamed. It refreshes by itself. You can say whether you want it to refresh or pull these down, whether you're only on Wi-Fi or whether you can use 3G or 4G. It syncs between, if you've got, let's say, an iPad and an Android phone like I do, it'll sync between those two. Just a nicely done, the best podcatcher I'm aware of that is cross-platform. So worth every penny, and it's something that I use every day. I listen to a lot of podcasts and to try and catch up on things in the technology world and ministry world, and this is just one of those resources that that I really couldn't live without, and one of those picks that I use each and every day.
A pick that sticks. All right, next up for me is the website doodle.com.
Oh, yes.
And this became especially important to me as we were doing planning for Wells Tech Camp. Actually, that's when I finally had an opportunity. A lot of times I schedule meetings with people internal to the CMM, the Center for Mission and Ministry, my coworkers there at the Synod. But when you begin to try to schedule meetings with people who are on different systems and in different locations and things like that, Doodle is just invaluable. Basically, you suggest meeting times, and people go and vote. As you can see on the screen, they'll indicate which of the meeting times would work for them. And then you're able to get kind of a clear picture, really easy interface and everything, just very straightforward as far as what time would work best for your meeting planning. And without fail, we were able to schedule these meetings. We had five or six people on our committee as we planned for Wells Tech Camp. Oftentimes our meetings would end up being at 7 in the morning before everybody's day got started or whatever, but we were able to find those times, and Doodle was the reason why. So I recommend it highly.
And who doesn't struggle with trying to find, if you're meeting with more than just one person, boy, it is a challenge these days to try and find a time, and lots of back and forth emails in many cases. So, real time saver. Mm-hmm. My second pick is the JBL Charge, a piece of hardware this time, and it is a Bluetooth speaker system. And it simply is a rechargeable standalone speaker that connects via Bluetooth to whatever device accepts a Bluetooth connection, whether that's an iPhone or an iPad or an Android phone or tablet, even your computer if it has Bluetooth built in. And this little speaker has great sound. It has a battery life of 10 or 11 hours on a charge. And the reason that it's called JBL Charge is that you can also plug in other devices via USB port and charge them, even though this and this can be act as a standalone charger. It can be charged itself, of course, but then you can plug something else in and get it charged as well. So we used it. I used it for the first time out in Las Vegas for our conference, and we had a room of about 40 people, church basement size, essentially. And we played a video for one of our devotions, and this was hooked up to it and filled the room. So I think those that need some portability in their amplification solutions, the JBL Charge is not a bad choice. It's $150. I think you could even find a little bit cheaper these days, but a great little portable thing. I carried it in my suitcase. It's really about the size of a tall beer can, basically. So it's very portable and extremely well built and useful. So that's the JBL Charge.
All right, next up for me is the makeuseof.com website, and I think, if I remember correctly, that I have to thank Pastor Rob Gunther for sharing this website with us. MakeUseOf has really straightforward and helpful articles about all different technology topics. They're more of a how-to site and a newsy kind of site, and their topics cover different platforms. So if you're an iOS user or a Windows user, or you're into gaming or whatever it may be, they have best of type posts quite often, like best iPhone apps or best web hosting or whatever it may be. There's a whole host of those that you can tap into. And they also produce some really great ebooks. So just like us, Martin, doing one ebook, they have a whole host of ebooks out on their website. So you can actually, set up your own online broadcast they have, or tablet buying guide, or whatever it may be. A lot of times they've written the book on it and published it out here, and you can download in PDF or EPUB format. So just a whole lot of resources from Make Use Of. I actually subscribe to their email list, and I'm not even seeing that pop right out at me. I think if you try to download one of these books, they might prompt you to sign up for their email or whatever it may be. But it's the one email that I always get excited when it hits my inbox. I'm not much for loading up my inbox with a lot of email. I'd rather go read it on the web, but this one, they always send me great stuff. I find it very helpful. I forward it to people. It's something that I make use of regularly. So that's makeuseof.com.
Cool. Yeah, it is a very neat site. And I don't know how they make money or what their business model is. Maybe it's advertising, but what a great service they provide. So All right, my third pick is a website this time, and it's something that I've talked about a number of times on the show, and that's monoprice.com. Monoprice.com is, if you are somebody in charge of any AV equipment or just the technology infrastructure at your church or school, monoprice.com would be a good bookmark to have in your browser, because they have absolutely the best price. I have not found anywhere close to these prices, certainly in local retail stores, your Radio Shacks or Best Buys. So if you're looking for cabling, any kind of converters, any kind of networking equipment, mic stands, amplification, those kinds of things, go to monoprice.com first and take a look at their prices. I think they can get these prices this low because they are such a popular site. I've never had any trouble getting stuff from them or even returning stuff, because sometimes you'll think you've got the right cable and then it's got the wrong end, you needed a male and it's a female, or it's not the right length, or it's too fat, or it doesn't work. The return policy is really generous, and they have just a huge selection of products. So monoprice.com.
Excellent. Cables are where it's at. Can't make all your stuff work without those great cables to go along. So good stuff. My next pick is actually kind of a photo game idea that I wanted to share again. I thought it was a very popular thing to do, and oftentimes we're faced with these kind of maybe congregation or school events where you need to make a presentation or you know, share information. In this case, this was a Unity Sunday event. So once a year, all of our church services are combined into just one church service, and then we have a nice meal afterwards and just kind of recap the year in the congregation. And I was running dry on creative ideas of things to do that recap, and I came up with the idea of kind of like almost a Where's Waldo kind of photo game, where I took an image and cropped out just a small piece of the image and asked people to identify. So here's an image, and it's actually part of this larger picture with the rainbow over the church kind of thing. And so I just showed them a variety of really small cropped out images and asked them to identify what event from the past year the images were from. And everybody had a sheet of paper and wrote down what they thought the images were from. And then in the end, when I got through all the pictures that I'd cropped, eventually, I came to a point where I showed them what the pictures were from. And I'm getting close. So I'd show them the small picture again, and then I showed them the larger picture in the event that it was from. Camping trip or Christmas caroling to shut-ins, or cheerleading, or whatever it may be, maybe the children's Christmas Eve service. And again, this is something I put together myself. I shared it out on SlideShare so that people could actually see the concept. But I think it is a creative way and a fun thing to do for maybe a graduation in your school or whatever it may be, where you're having an event and you want to pull together a nice program type thing to review. The pictures bring back so many memories, and I think it was just a very well-received way to do that. So that's my tip, or my pick, that was a favorite.
Nice. Yeah, that's a very great concept. Mm-hmm. My fourth pick is another mobile app. It was the year of mobile, after all, and that's Flipboard. Flipboard is available for all mobile platforms now, including BlackBerry and Windows. It is basically a news reader, and it's a very graphically pleasing setup design that they've put together, and you basically subscribe to different feeds. They have some built in for you, so if you want to, let's say, if you're interested in technology or sports or just world news or whatever, you can subscribe to those or build your own through your own tweets, your own Twitter lists, Facebook posts. This is how I actually interact with Facebook. So what it does is it kind of culls the content of the post, whether it's a blog post, a Twitter feed, a Facebook post, whatever, and grabs the image, if there is one, and presents that kind of in a magazine style. So they've kind of created a digital magazine concept, and then you simply swipe to the left or up or down depending on the device to go to the next story. So it's kind of a lean back experience that you can't get through a lot of feeds this way, but if you're interested in just browsing the content on the web that you subscribe to, whether that's digital magazines or Twitter or Facebook, whatever, Flipboard, the Flipboard app is the way I prefer to do it. So it's a very nice, it's been around for a while and now it's on all platforms, so there's really nothing standing between you and putting this app on your mobile device. It's a great, great way to consume content.
I'm a fan. Yep, I vote for it as well. Good pick, Martin. My last pick is actually a girly blog, and we don't talk a lot about girly things on the Wells Tech podcast. Technology is pretty male-dominated, so I'm always excited to find the women's voice out there. And this blog is called Holy Hen House, and it's basically a compilation blog by a group of ladies, many of them pastors' wives, just solid Wells women. I would guess they're in their late 20s to 30s. They're raising families, and they have just a really distinct voice and publish some really great blog content. My hat's off to them because they're all very excellent writers, and I'm not a writer, so I always enjoy the depth of their post and the way that they let their light shine on the Holy Hen House blog. So if you haven't found it, it's at holyhenhouse.com. They have regular posts from a whole group of ladies. They call themselves the Hens, and their bios are out here and everything, and they're just super talented, and their writing is just really, really inspirational. And so if you're looking for something to throw in your Flipboard app, if you want to spend some time on some quality writing from a group of women sharing their faith and in the struggles of life, I think Holy Hen House is a good place to be.
Very good. Mm-hmm. And a follower of our Twitter feed, I noticed just the other day. So,
yep, cool. They're on Twitter as well.
Yep. My last pick of the year is another software product, free open source product, which I use not daily but weekly for the most part. And I think this is another one of those tools that if you're a teacher or a pastor that consumes or uses or shares, let's say, YouTube videos or other web-based videos and wants to download them and play them in an offline fashion or convert them to another format, Miro, they're up to version 6, is a tool that you're going to want to download. Miro 6 is simply it's an audio and video toolbox, basically. So you can search for online content, you can tag it, you can put it in libraries, you can play it later, you can download it, and it has some neat conversion tools as well. And it just is a nice way to keep control of all the media in your ministry, and does a great job with almost any media format. So there's very few things on the web that it can't play. You can download it real quickly and then store it and find it later, and just an invaluable tool. And there's also now Miro for iPad as well, so they're going on the mobile side too. So that's Miro 6 if you're into multimedia and sharing that with class or students or just for your own organization purposes. Miro's a good product to have.
Excellent. Well, those are some good picks and some that I haven't made use of quite yet, Martin. So I'm going to go back and revisit some of your favorites. Good stuff.
All right. Next category, we're just winding down here. We've got two kind of favorite categories left, and one of those is a new thing that we started this year, and that's reviews. We encouraged our listeners to submit reviews, and we did a few reviews ourselves, and those are what we really wanted to highlight at this point. Sal, you had a review of something
of
that
my,
you carry with you everywhere.
Right. My new iPhone 5S came out this fall, and for me, surprising tech diva that I am, I hadn't had a smartphone until now. So finally I got with the program, and I am connected all the time. And I wrote a review of it. We'll have a link in the show notes to that. I'm really pleased with the 5S. I'm pleased with, surprisingly, with the ability to tether. I really enjoy being able to use my iPad still, but actually have cell phone connection when I'm not on a wireless network and stuff. So when we were in Las Vegas, it became very handy to have the tethering because of Wi-Fi connections weren't super stable. So right away, I just really appreciated the iPhone and that ability. But certainly, having the internet in my pocket on 24 hours a day if needed has been a blessing to me. Since I got my iPhone. So I'm a fan, and I have a review about it, so check that out.
And my review is similar. It's the phone that I use currently, and it's on the other side of the aisle, and that's the Android Moto X. It's by Motorola, and there it is. I'll show you my review as well. And it's I like it because, first of all, it's reasonably priced at this point. I think it's going to be cheaper than your iPhone. It's got great battery life, which is really an important thing for me in a phone. It also does some neat things with hands-off kind of speech recognition. So you can speak to it without even touching it and do a search in the car or do a search for a location. Just do a Google search. You just say, okay, Google now. It springs into action just like it did now. So it's very sensitive. And then it will interpret what you say. And if it knows what you're talking about, it'll either open the app or do the navigation search or take a picture, whatever, send a text message or email. Or it'll go out to Google and give you some different options. So they have a winner here, and I think it's selling well. You can also customize it. I've got just the plain old black one, kind of a Kevlar looking back black. I prefer black phones, but you can get this in many colors and accent colors, and customizable screens and the whole bit. If you go to Moto, I think it's called the Moto Maker or Moto X Maker, something like that. Great. I've dropped it and it's still standing. I dropped it a couple times now and it's a little scuffed up at this point, but kept on ticking, so it's my constant companion as well. And it's great. It's a great, if you're looking for a phone, I would certainly consider it.
Awesome. All right. The battle of the cell phones. There you go.
Last segment, Sally, what is it?
Well, we're going to talk about our favorite interviews. One of the highlights of the show for me, and such a special privilege, is to meet some really amazing people that are doing great work out there in terms of gospel ministry, in terms of technology. We have it all. One that really stands out for me is David Tess. He's a professor at Wisconsin Lutheran College, and he came on, I think, April, May timeframe, and told us about The Shallows, the book that we're currently reading on the show, and just gave us a great overview of that and the fact that the way our brains are changing are affecting the way our students are able to learn from us. And he also did kind of a keynote at the Google Summit that I attended this summer, and he has some great insight to share there. So that interview in particular was a real special one for me.
Yeah. Mine I'm just going to group all in one big bucket, Sally, and that's anybody we interviewed who didn't really live in the lower 48 states. And it turns out we had four of them that were able to join us. And part of the neat part about this is just, and maybe this is just my digital roots or non-digital roots coming through, where I was born in an analog age. So I just think it's so cool that you can talk to somebody halfway around the world. And for them it's night, and for you it's day, or vice versa, and their just ability to get on and have a dialogue with you. That obviously couldn't happen 30 years ago. But one of those people that was halfway around the world, Brad Wardell, who is works now with Multilanguage Publications, but he is Asia Publications Coordinator and lives in Tokyo, Japan, and we were able to talk with him about his work in multi-language publications and mission work in Japan. He's been our missionary over there for many, many years. I was able to go over to Tokyo in one of my travels this past year. Maybe it was a year and a half ago now, and stayed in his home, and he took me around Tokyo, showed me the sights. Just, it's another world. It truly is. And then our work is so important over there because there's so many who don't know their Savior. So that was one. Rob Gunther, we've already mentioned, he qualifies because he's not in the lower 48. He's way up there in Alaska.
In Kenai.
Kenai, Alaska. That was one of the things Sally can put on her resume this past year, is she learned how to pronounce Kenai. And we've talked about him a number of times, and he's on our Hall of Fame, and he's also a constant contributor. So it was neat to talk to him about his self-publishing topics. Eric Landwehr, although we didn't talk to him from a great distance, he was probably a foot away. We talked to him in New Ulm, Minnesota. He was at Synod Convention, and he joined us for our 300th show to talk about his impressions of the convention. And boy, what a gregarious, seemingly fun-loving, happy guy.
Yeah, that probably stands out as the funniest interview that we did all year, because he had us laughing about his family being at convention as well, and then planning voting blocks and taking bribes, and it was just really tongue-in-cheek, but very, very fun. He serves as a staff minister, I want to say, in St. Lucia. I have to look that up to be sure, but staff
minister.
Yep,
it's St. Lucia, yeah.
Okay.
One of the two. I think it's St. Lucia, though.
Yeah.
And then finally, the other person that we've interviewed a number of times, and a friend of the show, Mike Hart, pastor or missionary Mike Hartman from Mexico, has joined us, and that's always fun to talk with Mike and his passion for ministry, and Rachel, his wife's passion as well, and they're family friends of yours too, right, Sally?
That's right, and we actually interviewed him on the 300th episode as well, Martin. He
That's
was
right.
there at convention, and in contrast to Eric, and I just adore Mike, his wasn't the funniest, it was probably the most touching interview for me, because he told the story about his daughter's reaction to the opening service, and just feeling like she was in heaven almost, and tears came to her eyes as she was part of the opening service of Synod Convention and the beautiful music that we enjoyed there. So it was just super touching from a missionary who's raising children in a foreign country and kind of bringing it all together about why they're doing the work that they're doing. It was a wonderful interview and very, very special to me. I know we've made mention of the Google Summit in the past. I enjoyed kind of tapping the main presenters that were at Google Summit, Molly Schrader, Ben Friesen, and David Chan, for just some of their little tips and things to make Google Apps for Education work for you. These are kind of rock stars in the Google world, so it was special to have them on Wells Tech sharing their ideas. And then finally, I'll close with one more favorite interview of Carissa Nelson, a lovely Wells artist, and by the way, she's female as well, so going for the girl power here. But Carissa has a website, carissanelsonart.com. She donates art to Wells for use with our screen background images each month and things like that. She's just super talented, and it was neat to see her letting her light shine through her artistry in the interview that we had with her. All just excellent interviews.
Neat. Thanks to all of those folks. It's not part of their job description that they come and talk to us on Wells Tech, but they're all very happy to do it, and we're happy to have them. And we kind of seed them, just a little behind the scenes Wells Tech stuff, we seed them with a few questions, but rarely do we stay on script, because they just have a lot more to share than we can even ask questions about, and that's one of the reasons we want to talk to them. So if you or somebody you know would think that you could join us and have a conversation with us about any topic related to technology and ministry, we would love to get your name on our rolls. We're always looking for good interviews, and I think that's one of the most popular pieces on the show as well. So, Sally, I think we've run out of favorites for 2013. Our look back in review on 2013, and kind of a special year, and I'm sure 2014 will have its own specialness. so to speak. But it's always fun to look back and say, boy, God was good to us. We did a show every week, and hopefully that will be the case in 2014.
Yes, I definitely feel blessed having Wells Tech as a part of my life. Personally, have grown through the experience and have so enjoyed meeting the Wells Tech community, be it over our digital connections or actually face-to-face this year. It was a great year, and I was just super excited to put this show together.
Yep. So next show will be
next year.
And we're going to be looking at what's ahead. Looking ahead to 2014 and some of the things that we can expect. Can't tell you any more than that because we don't know yet.
We'll figure that out next year.
We haven't planned it yet, so it'll be good.
Stay tuned.
But one thing I do know is we're still giving away music, and boy, again, what a blessing it is to have a Wells Tech family and people who are willing to work with us, and our Wells artists are no different. And this time, Crosswalk has graciously given us permission to let our good listeners and viewers download one of their songs, He Is the Life.
It's a Christmas song.
Yeah, absolutely. And he is going to, or they are going to make that available for 1 week. If you go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, you'll find a link there that will be good for 1 week, starting from December 31st through to our next show. So take advantage of that and build your Wells music collection. Sally, probably should not dismiss here without thanking you for everything that you've done in 2013. I can truly say this show would actually not have happened were it not for Ms. Sally Draper.
That's very kind, Martin, and I greatly appreciate, as do many, I'm sure, across the Synod, the leadership that you provide to Wells and the field of technology, and I hope we can keep it going for another year.
Yeah. Have a blessed one. Have a blessed new year. Bye-bye, everybody.